Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the first letter of Peter, chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. This is our second lesson for today, this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, there's a boy. Let's place him maybe in middle school, whose parents can't really afford to buy him nice clothes. No, he doesn't wear Nikes or Under Armour or whatever is fashionable these days. His parents don't shop at department stores or at the mall, but at Walmart and Goodwill. His clothes are often old and they don't fit quite right, so his classmates look at him and they label him as strange, as different, as not like the rest of us. Maybe as a classmate. That classmate has, his parents have a lot of money, he has all the fashionable clothes, the latest in electronics. He likes sports, but he's not an athlete. He tries hard, but he can't really run fast. He's not really strong, and no one ever told him how to properly throw a ball, so his teammates label him as strange. Not like the rest of us. There's another one. He's fashionable. He's in style. He's a good athlete, but he's dumb. His classmates notice when he can't really read a simple sentence or can't figure out a basic math problem, and they wonder why he's so stupid. How come he can't figure this thing out when everyone else can? And they label him as strange, different, not like the rest of us. People don't want to be labeled as strange. Everyone wants to be normal or just want to fit in. Just be like everyone else. And yet, time and time again, people are labeled as strange. Especially Christians. Today we see that you are strange. You're strange in the eyes of the world, first, because you don't join in their wickedness, and secondly, because you show the love of Christ throughout your life. Now, normally when it comes to being strange, people don't do it on purpose. Sure, someone might become strange on purpose to call attention to themselves, to prove a point, or maybe for some cause. But typically, no one is going to become strange when they've before been considered normal or popular. They become strange on purpose. They want to stay normal. And yet, at one time you were normal. That is, just like the rest of the world, but now you are strange. Once you're normal in the eyes of the world, you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. That is how you used to live. Back when you're an unbeliever, you join in the practices of the pagan world. But for many of us here, you may not remember that time. I was baptized less than a week after I was born. You could probably say the same thing or something similar. For many of us, we can't remember a time when we lived as a pagan. So you may have that thinking. You may be tempted to think, well, this verse doesn't apply to me because I hardly spent any time living as a pagan. Maybe true. But how much time have you spent doing those things? How many times have you chosen to do what pagans choose to do? Peter talks as if these things are in our past. But for you, they may be in the present. Lust, drunkenness, putting things above God, these are all actions among unbelievers. And yet you may commonly do them day after day. And Peter says about the world, they think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. The world thinks someone is strange if they don't do the same things they do, if they don't believe the same things they believe, have the same values, they don't join in their same detestable practices, then they label someone as strange. What do they think of you? Maybe you're not all that strange in the eyes of the world because you don't act all that differently in the eyes of the world. And if the world doesn't think you strange, well, then you should be offended. You should take that as a warning. Because you are strange. You are a believer. You are wheat living among weeds. You are different, and you should act differently. As wheat, you cast aside the ways of the world. You don't join in their detestable wickedness, but you follow the way of the Lord. You don't follow the same God. You don't have the same values. You don't do the same things they do. You don't act like they do. You don't get drunk every weekend or many times like the world does. You don't lust like the world does and act on that lust like the world encourages you to do. You are strange. You put God and His Word first in your life. There are many times you may not join in certain activities that in and of themselves are not sins because they get in the way of your worship or your Bible study. You live in this world, but you're not of this world. You don't act like the rest of the world. You don't join together with them in their sins. When the world says, yes, that sounds fun, or that's noble, or that's right, or that's sophisticated, you say, no, that is against God's word. You don't do what they do. You don't act like they do. You don't believe what they do. So the world says, you are strange. You're different. You're not like the rest of us. And what happens when someone is strange? When someone is different, when someone's not like the rest of a group, he gets picked on, mocked, ridiculed, abused. And the same thing happens to those who are strange because of their faith. Now the world preaches tolerance. They claim to be tolerant of other people's beliefs, but as long as that corresponds to what they believe, as long as what you believe doesn't affect the way I live my life, as long as you don't tell me what I'm doing or what I believe is wrong. And even then, they're still going to think you are strange, maybe a little gullible, ignorant, and look down upon you because of your faith as lesser than they are, like Christ. He suffered. He was betrayed, beaten, flogged, crucified. The world hated Him because of who He was, because of what He did, because of what He refused to do. And so He was killed. Murdered for being strange. Of course, now He lives. He rose from the dead. He lives forever. And He gave that victory over death to us, to the whole world, to you. And that's all you need to know when the world looks down upon you, when the world heaps abuse on you, when they pick you, when they mock you, when they ridicule you for being different, for being strange. We think of Christ. Because man's opinion doesn't matter. What they think about you doesn't last. But what matters is what God thinks about you. And you know that no matter what the world thinks about you, you will live with your Savior in heaven forever. You're strange. You're strange in the eyes of the world, not just because you refuse to join in their detestable practices, but also because you live the love of Christ. The world, on the last day, they will have to answer to God for their actions. They will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The world will have to explain to God why they heaped abuse on you. They will have to explain to Him why they failed to obey His word, why they went after and followed their sinful nature. Why did they mock those who obeyed God? And they won't be able to offer any excuses. Pleading ignorance won't work. They won't be able to say, well, everyone around me was doing it. Or I didn't understand that law, or I didn't agree with it, so I didn't chose not to do it. I don't know. It's not going to work. They won't be able to explain away their actions, and they won't be able to save themselves by trying to live a good life. And so they will be condemned, sent to the fires of hell to burn forever. We too will have to give an account on that last day. Like everyone, we will have to face the Lord and explain our actions. Explain why we didn't do what we are supposed to do and do what we shouldn't have done. Why did we follow the detestable practices of the world around us? Why did we fail to put God first in our lives? Why did we join in their lust and drunkenness and detestable idolatry? And we know we won't have a leg to stand on. We won't be able to explain away our sinful actions. We can't offer anything as a payment. As we stand before God, that righteous judge, we know that we deserve to be condemned. And yet we don't have to worry, because Christ has paid for our sins. He has made that payment already. He has removed our sins by nailing them to Himself on the cross. We won't be condemned forever like we deserve, because Christ was condemned for us. We won't have our sins count against us because our sins have been removed. Christ has done this for all people. He has given us this gift, which is received through faith. We know as we stand before God, as we face condemnation, we lift up Christ, our substitute, through whom we are declared not guilty. That is what Christ has done for you. That is what Christ has done for all people. And so we want all people to know this. We want all people to believe this. Because we want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And if we want them to believe it, well, then we have to share the gospel with them. Because they cannot believe unless they hear. They cannot know of God's forgiveness unless you tell them about Christ and what He has freely given to the whole world. That's what a Christian does. That's what followers of God have done for centuries. They spread the gospel. They look for opportunities to tell others about the love of the Lord. For this is the reason the gospel is preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The gospel is shared to those who are now dead back when they were alive, so that they might live when they die. So that while they were living on this earth, as a result, they might live according to the word of the Lord. There's a major difference there between weeds and the wheat, between unbelievers and believers. The weeds heap abuse and mock the wheat, and the wheat show love. Instead of retaliating, instead of getting revenge, instead of holding a grudge, the believer shows the love of Christ. They forgive those who have done them wrong, and they share the gospel with them. Instead of hate, as the world will show, the believer loves and forgives. The believer isn't concerned about doing physical harm or getting even on this earth. Rather, the believer is concerned about the eternal soul. That's the stark, that's the major difference between the weeds and the wheat. Weeds hate, wheat love. Because love covers over sin. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Christ's love has covered over a multitude of sins. Actually, Christ's love, which led him to pay for our sins on the cross, it is Christ's love that has covered over all sins. Your sins? My sins? The sins of the whole world. And as wheat, planted by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, we mimic that love. We show love just as Christ showed love to us. Not holding sins against others, but forgiving them, sharing the gospel with them, and showing them the forgiveness that Christ has won for us. We do that so that these weeds, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may be turned into wheat and join us in heaven forever. The world thinks you are strange. Not necessarily because of what you wear or how athletic you are or how smart you are or not. But the world thinks you are strange because you don't join in their detestable practices, because you actually show love instead of hate. Being strange isn't all that bad. Especially when it comes to being wheat among weeds. As wheat, living among a field of weeds, don't blend in. Don't be afraid to be strange, to live as wheat. So follow the way of the Lord and show others the love of Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.